Well, I got a great message actually this morning that I think can change a few lives. Maybe every life that's assembled here. Our theme for the month in June, every year we pick a series subset for the month of June around the issue of provision and finance. And today we're following from last week's message from Dave. Well, here he knocked it out of the park. It's pretty cool. Well known, should see. But seeing God's provision, is this title of my message this morning is this: seeing God's provision in our life involves following plans. Now, I've got a little bit of Fiji in my head here because building houses without plans is perilous. Building without actually getting what you need when you need it on site, like materials that didn't turn up for the right time and never came and things like that, become incredibly frustrating. And it got me thinking about how it is that we, as Christians, can claim, and we do claim, because there are lots of promises in the Bible about God's abundance and God's provision in our lives. And I sometimes feel like, on reflection, that I've kind of assumed wrongly that His abundance being poured out into my laps, kind of like just it's just going to happen. I just got to believe it, and it's going to happen. And there's a sense in which that's the key. I have to believe it. There's no doubt about it. But that's not the end of the story. The story is I've got to do something about it in order for Him to be able to pour His blessing into my life. And so I've got a message this morning, and it was birthed out of a song that got into my kind of... You ever had that problem? Was it just me? I get a song in my kind of heart, and then I find I'm humming it. Then I'm humming it and singing it and whistling it and humming it. And it's like, jeepers, I'd like to have a new song to sing today. But get up the next morning, the same old song's there. And the same old tune, and it's going rattling around. And after about the third day, I usually get it. I usually understand God's trying to tell me something, because I'm not singing Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd or the Doobie Brothers when that happens to me. I'm normally singing something that's actually, strangely enough, an old scripture and song. One of the greatest things you can do is to play scripture in your home that's actually sung when your kids are growing up. Your kids need to hear the Word of God wrapped up in music because it helps them to remember it. And so, parents, just a little tip there. Just play music that's got Scripture, sing it, do it, whatever. Just get the Word of God into your kids because it'll change their lives. But there's a song we used to sing, I think, it's an old C3 song. I don't even know whether Pastor Phil might have written the song himself. I don't remember if he did or not, but it's Psalm 144, the first verse. Praise to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And I would say oftentimes we want to spiritualize that, and there's nothing wrong with that because there is a spiritual war going on. There are spiritual battles that we've got to fight. But in the natural realm, I'm a late baby boomer born in the late 50s. I've never been to war, never got conscripted. I was too young for the Vietnam War. Praise God, and way too young, obviously, for any other war, for that matter, and now I'm too old for any war, so I'm not likely to get into the theatre of war as a soldier. But the Bible is saying very clearly, and David, who wrote this, King David, who was a fighter, he was a king, he was a mighty man of God, he's reflecting on the fact that it's the Lord who is our rock, who trains our hands for war and our fingers for battle. First and foremost, first thought this morning, we need to be trained. When it comes to money and provision and the creation of wealth in our world, I think we think we don't need to have any help. I got to tell you right now, I need a lot of help. My parents were flipping hopeless with money. They didn't really help me understand what to do with it. They weren't irresponsible with money, but they just didn't. I don't recall them sowing into my life foundational material. Say foundational. Foundations are imperative. This scripture says this: praise be to the Lord my rock. Say rock. Is your financial world today built on a rock, or is it built in a sandpit? Have you built your whole wealth, no matter how old you are, the whole of your life? Because you can build a magnificent looking building on sand. It looks like the real McCoy. Sounds like the real McCoy, But Jesus himself shares a scripture in Matthew 7, starting at verse 24. Therefore, if anyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice, in other words, what the Bible says about everything, put it into practice. What the Bible says about things that matter, put it into practice. If you hear these words of mine and put them into practice, he is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Say rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, the beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had foundations. Say foundations. On the rock. Say rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew a great and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When we encounter somebody who can teach us and counsel us and coach us, Jesus is saying, that was him talking to us, when there's things that I say about stuff, not only hear it, do it, and you'll be okay. Build on the rock. Many of us, especially as adults, don't like anybody telling us what to do. We don't like anybody, we either don't like them telling us what to do, or our first question is, what's your qualifications? Show me a uni degree. Where do you go to school? What do you know? How successful are you? And that's quite legitimate questions to ask. It's not a good question to ask, however, if it's a mask for being unteachable. Because you, me, I, we can think, I know enough. Well, I've got to tell you, I don't know enough. I've realised that life is way more complicated than I thought it would be. And in fact, if you want to live in your little bubble of a world, it may be not that complicated. But what if God's called you to be not the caretaker of a little bubble, but the caretaker of a massive bubble? And the massive bubble of life that you live in requires you to understand and be trained how to handle complexity, how to handle bigger weight, how to handle bigger pressure, how to handle bigger disappointment, how to handle bigger belts in the face from people that are nasty and get over it. There's a whole thing. You can be trained for that. I love going to the beach and watching people surf. I've not been a surfer. I can't surf to save myself. But, you know, there's some people who've got a natural kind of knack with some sports. They're actually quite good. But even a really naturally gifted sports person is so enhanced by the work of a coach. Somebody who actually trains, say trains. Someone who trains them. It's amazing that you can see, and when you get to watch surfing competitions, and I don't watch them very often because I'm not that committed to the sport, but I do enjoy it from time to time. There are some people who clearly have this natural gift to read, and this is a really important image for you to get. They are reading the waves way back. Let me say that they're reading the wave pattern. They're sitting on their board, bobbing up and down. They're not looking for the wave they're about to catch. They're looking for the wave that's the next one they're going to catch. It's out that way, somewhere. It's a wave. Say wave. It's actually bobbing up and down. It's been coming from, in our case, down south coast of Australia. It's been coming up from the Antarctic deep South Sea for days. It's tracking along. It's doing very nicely. Thank you. This wave's just doing its thing. But a skilled surfer sees it. Way off. Say way off. If you're the sort of person who's a phlegmatic personality like me and lives in the moment, you're not good at seeing the wave way off. Some people here are planners in the sense that you're wired to plan things. And some of you can see the waves way off and you start preparing your life to catch that wave. You start positioning yourself in exactly the right place to catch that exact wave at the exact right moment. And you're doing that while your competitors are catching the lesser waves. They can't see that wave, but you can. That can be trained and taught. You can learn that skill. But some people have got that skill, and we need to set ourselves up to listen to people who've got that skill. Well, let me tell you somebody who knows what every wave looks like. Let me tell you about somebody who can see over the horizon for the next wave. He can see over the horizon for the next thing. He can see over the horizons, whatever they might be. He can see over the mountains and over through the valleys. His name's Jesus. He's a great coach. in life. He's a great coach in doing life well in every arena of our life, including understanding how to get provision from God to actually hang around us. Oh my goodness, this message is so much fun to be given to you, I tell you. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it justice. I've got so many thoughts and analogies in my head that I'm not going to get them out, and I might get a bit confused myself. So I'll apologize in advance, but I'm going to give it a crack, because I'm convinced if we can get a hold of this, we can actually make life way more pleasant. So I used the word waves deliberately. Have you noticed that in life that things are cyclical? So even light, the light from the sun, the light from these light globes is light waves. Like they are, I don't know what that kind of waves they are, I can't remember. I learned it at school, it was a long time ago. Anyone, scientists want to help me? Scientists, what sort of waves are light waves? Who? What? Electromagnetic, thank you very much. All right. The electromagnetic waves, sound waves, what sort of waves are they? Sound waves? Pressure waves, they're kind of sine waves, is that right? But they're waves. From what I've understood, from what I've seen, and I'm not a particularly competent scientist, so bear with me, I stand corrected on some of this information. But let's just say most things seem to have a rhythm of life in them. There's a rhythm, there's mathematics, there's patterns, there's planning. We believe in a created order, not an evolved order of things. Things aren't just accidentally like they are. You're not accidentally like you are. You've been created by a creative God. And everything in the universe, it would appear to me, seems to follow patterns, seems to have been built out of a template of some sort. We are created in the image of God, for example. That means there's a pattern that we actually resemble. And so our house in Fiji, the two houses we built in Fiji last week, resemble the plans. Not exactly. We made a few modifications, didn't we, Dave? You know, there's a few things going on there. It's interesting. But without plans, we've got to... Again, let me just back up. If it's just me on my own, I could probably just plod along. Following a plan would be good. But when you've got a team of 25 people who are needing to work together at the same time, you need a plan. So a church needs a plan. We need a plan, a template. How do we get the favor and the blessing of God to rest on us? Well, let's consult the guy that designed it. His name's Jesus. Let's get close to him. Let's listen to what he's got to say about it. And so that's kind of where we're going this morning. So the journey through life is a challenge from start to finish. The fallen nature of the world that we live in. What I started thinking about was this. If I've got a view that God's going to bless me, God's going to look after me, God's going to provide for me, I can have this, let's just say, flatline view of that, in the sense that it's going to be God's going to supply my need. For example, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I can have a view that means, and some idiot Christians have used this line, when someone falls into a dip, lack of finance, relationship breakup, businesses going pear-shaped, they're in this valley of life. Some nutcase Christians say, you've lost your faith, you've lost your way, you've got this, you've got that. No, they haven't. What they're doing is following the wave. God's provision is not going to just be this straight out, there it is, through your life. I've noticed that life has ups and downs. I've noticed that marriage has ups and downs. I've noticed my bank account has ups and downs. I've noticed my friendships have ups and downs. I noticed my mental state of mind has ups and downs. So why is it logical to say, oh, that person's going through a rough patch. They must have done something wrong. I wonder what God's up to punishing them. No, no, no. They're just going through the bottom of the wave. And then they'll come up a wave. And we get this thing, well, we determine whether a person's close to God or not to God by how it's like. Well, what if a person's going to go through a season of waves like this and the troughs? And I got thinking, I think that I thought provision was this. God's going to supply my need and I'm going to have everything on this flat line of delivery. No, no, God's going to deliver it in waves. The anointing comes in waves. You can be in a meeting like this and the Holy Spirit turns up and everyone's gone. Next minute's like, where did he go? He hasn't gone. We're just going through a wave, down and up, because God's a waver. He even says in the Bible, give him a wave offering. I'm just being funny there, it's okay. I mean, that's true, but that's just being a little bit silly. Okay, because there is a scripture in there about giving God a wave offering. So there's a couple of things I want to say this morning then, in amongst all of that, to help us get our head around what's going on. Number one is the earth and everything in it belongs to the Lord. Psalm 24, verse 1. That was probably part of the Bible reading plan this week. I think that verse popped in there. It's like, that's a foundational starting point of understanding what to do with wealth. However much you have or haven't got in your life, understand what you have got, it belongs to the Lord. It's kind of like the building material. They belong to the person who paid for them. We pay for our building materials. We didn't get them all. We were a little ticked off about that, but that's okay. We ended up getting them in the end. God's not a stingy deliverer. What? He owns everything, and he's given it to you. It's his. And he's asking you and me, what are you going to do with it? Jesus told the story of the talents, 10, 5, and 1. 5, 2, and 1. Whichever story, there's two different ones in there. Like the guy that got the most, double what he had. The person that had the middle lot, he doubled what he had. The guy that got one buried it in the ground because he believed in his heart that God was mean, unjust, unfair, harsh master. And so he just decided he's going to put it in the ground and give it back to him when he wanted it back. No problem. I've been a good custodian of it. And he gets thrown out into eternal darkness with these words, you are a wicked and wretched servant. Why? Because God doesn't want you to sit on your gift. He doesn't want you to sit on your wealth. He doesn't want you to sit on your butt and just go, I'm going to wait this out. I'm just going to sit down and wait for it. Not only sit down, get into the wave. Become a surfer. Surfing through your life. I'm going to start wanting to, I want to see the waves coming towards me. Some of the waves that come aren't surfable. Some of them are miserable, big suckers that'll kill me at my skill level. I would be wise to let that one go by. Have you had some scenarios in your life that you didn't let go and you got wiped out? Anybody been wiped out financially by a, like, they didn't see that wave was kind of a killer? It's like, I hope this is helping somebody. Because I'm absolutely convinced that it's a revelation to me about the waves. I never thought of it like this, but having God's provision coming and then not coming, it appears to me at the time. But when it's not coming, doesn't mean it's not coming. It just means I'm in a low patch of its delivery. And then there can be a high patch. And then can be a really high patch. It's like, God is so awesome. But he delivers himself in waves. He delivers himself in coming and going. The Holy Spirit is described as a wind. Is described as a river. Those things all have ebb and flow. They kind of are very mysterious. God's provision is mysterious. Is it guaranteed? Yes. Is it guaranteed to come when you want it? No. Is it guaranteed to come when you need it? Yes. His provision is available when we need it. You know, I've renovated a bathroom at home, and I'm pretty proud of it, just saying, and got a great shower in our ensuite bathroom. And I've worked out, I knew this before, but just reinforced it, I can lean in there and turn the Flick Mix tap on in the shower. The water starts flowing. And the shower's going gangbusters. But I can position myself to not be under it. Just saying. You can be doing everything right. You're just not in the right spot. The flowing of heaven. There's steam. There's hot water. It's wonderful. I'm going, this is an awesome shower, but I'm not stepping into it. Sometimes you're not positioned. Sometimes you and I don't get. We're in the wrong spot. Hanging out with the wrong people, listening to the wrong voices, having the wrong conversations. Stop it. Step into the shower. Oh, that's so good. Where is God's anointing flowing in your life at the moment? Is it flowing on you, through you, around you, or is it over there somewhere? Because I got no problem in telling you straight out, God's got an anointing and a flow for your life. He hasn't turned it off. He hasn't switched it off. He hasn't said, oh, I'm not sending that anymore to you, Bruce, because you've been a naughty boy. I've got the blood of Jesus on me. He's sending his anointing at me as fast as heaven can deliver it. My problem is I'm not always standing under the spout. I'm standing somewhere else. doing something else. Why? Because I'm not following the plan. So we have a message here every week about tithing. Some of you are tired of hearing the tithing message. You've told me that. Some of you are tired of hearing about money. You've told me that. Guess what? The only reason we're telling you that is because we're trying to get the plan into the heads and the hearts of everybody who comes to our church. If you've got the plan, God bless you, but don't you not follow it. Get onto the plan. Follow the plan. So what is the plan? Well, the plan is, one of the things, is tithing. It's like, well, but isn't that Old Testament? Isn't it this? Isn't it that? Jesus had a conversation about a little widow that brought two pennies and chucked them into the thing. And he told his disciples, she gave more than anybody. Rich people came, they threw out of their abundance. She gave everything she had. Provision. Dear God, help us. I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been sort of stuck in the mud and not getting it. I can think of times when I've complained to God about him not delivering what he said he'd deliver and never realised that I've been in the wrong place. Being in the wrong place can mean having conversations with the people who are the whingers in your Navigo friends. Get away from them. Bad company corrupts good character. It's really easy to join in a negative conversation because they're always fun and juicy. They can be quite informative. They can be quite inaccurate. They might even be true. Problem is, the anointing's over there and those conversations are all just merrily and slowly pulling me over here. And all of a sudden I'm going, I feel dry. Oh, my financial problems are really big. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. Over there, where the anointing is faith. Over there, where the anointing is, there is hope. Over there, where the anointing is, there is, it's going to be okay. Over here, no anointing. Oh, we're stuffed. It's over. What am I going to do? Ah! Come back over here. Has anything changed? No, still got no money. Still got no this. But I've got Jesus. I've got hope. I'm going to be okay. We're going to be okay. It's nothing to do with what we have or haven't got. It's like, can I say to you, it's where you are. So church, where are you living this morning? You living under the spout or you're still stepping, got to step over into the shower cubicle? Get in there and get under the anointing. Just a friendly bit of advice. That's a training moment. Get under the anointing. So when we have prayer meetings, some people go, oh, it's not my thing. Well, it seemed to be Jesus' thing. Just saying. Corporate prayer meetings, not my thing. I'd rather do my own thing. It's like, okay, well, what about if there's something about the corporate prayer meeting that's got something to do with the plan, that's got something to do with the pattern, that's got something to do with the finished product that you are not ever going to participate in or have anything to do with because you were doing your own thing? We didn't need somebody in Fiji off to the side cutting up their own timber to make a doghouse. We needed everybody who was on deck cutting up timber according to the plan as part of the team. And we did it. And we finished it. Praise God. Wow. Second point. There's a created order that applies to the world we live in. Kind of covered this already. All parts of the creation have a rhythm. A couple of scriptures come to mind. The evidence of God, according to the word of God, in the world, is that his glory fills the whole earth. That means when we look around at a snow-capped mountain and go, whoa, that's the glory of God being revealed. When we look in the middle of a dry-up desert, that's the glory of God being revealed. You might be a dried-up, parched piece of salt lake at the moment, but what if that is to the glory of God? Even a salt lake appears to me to get flooded now and then. It's not a matter of comparing what you are with who that person is. It's a matter of knowing you're under the spout. Are you positioned in your life where God wants you? I'm looking around this pillar so I can eyeball everyone this morning. Are you confident that you've followed the plans and have found yourself sitting under the abundance of God? Have you found yourself, after what I'm saying this morning, understanding maybe for the first time, but maybe it's just reinforcing something you already knew, that God comes in waves? God's provision comes in waves. Finances come in waves. It comes with huge pressure at some times, and other times it's as light as. Sometimes it comes with great joy. And you go, oh, this is so good. Life's fantastic. Praise God. And then days or weeks later, we can find ourselves in the depths of despair and wondering what on earth is going on. What if it's just a cycle of life? And it's not one of these kind of curves, it's one of these big suckers. And it's very gradual. Sometimes we can find ourselves gradually descending into a place of lack. And it's kind of like the frog in the saucepan with water. Chuck a frog into a boiling pan of water, it'll jump out. You put one in cold water and put the heat underneath, it'll stay there until it's dead. Sometimes we misread the cycle. Maybe you've complained about it. But what if it's the one that God wants you to be on? Don't complain about it. Learn how to surf it. Learn how to get on top of it. Learn how to go with it. Learn how to make it move you. Now, you love that about surfing. Waves move you. If I'm out in the ocean just bobbing up and down, the wave just does this to me. But I get on a surfboard, paddle, get a bit of forward motion at the right time. If someone can train me to do that, the wave will ride me into the shore. How cool is that? Is that your experience of Jesus? You're just bobbing up and down in life. This is an unsaved person. This is the new Christian wave, by the way. Someone trains you, encourages you, helps you to discover Jesus Christ. He starts by his word whispering to you about these ways weren't meant to make you just do this all day and all, like bobbing up like a buoy in the ocean. You're actually meant to ride the wave. Whoa, really? You know, the wave's meant to be fun. The wave's meant to take you to a destination. It's called eternal life, that wave. It's like, really? Yeah. Well, how do I do that? Well, read your Bible. Come to church. Get connected. Listen to what the Word of God says. Follow the pattern. Bring gifts. Be generous. Well, can I do that? You certainly can. I haven't got much. You don't need much to be generous. Just be generous with what you have. It's nothing about the amount. It's about the heart, as Simon has already mentioned. And so all of a sudden, Jesus is teaching you to not just do this in the waves anymore. He's teaching you to paddle, get some momentum, and all of a sudden, those waves that used to pass under you and over you like are all of a sudden taking you somewhere. I mean, how cool is that? Because someone's trained you how to understand the waves of life. And my hope and prayer this morning is that this message has helped you, even with the analogy that I've used, has helped you to think, I need help. I need to find someone who can help me to understand the waves of finance. I need somebody who can help me understand the waves of relationship. I'm talking about if these areas are troubling you at the moment. If these areas are not going well in your life, don't start keep bobbing up and down in the wave of financial despair when you can get help. Someone can teach you. It's not just biblical truth. People can tell you practical things so that the waves that you're bobbing up and down in are transformed into waves that transfer you to a new destination. How cool is that? Some of you are getting excited. Some of you go. Some of you, well, no, not making a comment. So that was the second point. Hang on. There's one more thing I had to say about that. So it's cycles, seasons, summer, winter, autumn, spring. So we understand there's all kinds of cycles in nature. Let's just say our lives are cyclical in that. Second thing I thought about in regards to that is that things can happen quickly. And sometimes they happen so slowly. It's like, oh my gosh, that's so slow. But it's actually slow for a reason. I believe, again, using building analogies, you can put stuff into cement, concrete mix to make it set fast. But the faster it sets, the weaker it is. The slower it sets, the stronger it is. And we've got a microwave mentality about life. We want it fixed now. But sometimes, in God's wisdom, he's going to say to Bruce, this issue is going to take 10 years to fix. But once it's fixed, once it's cured, once the cement concrete mix in your life for this issue is cured over 10 years, down there, you're going to be strong, man. If you want me to snap my fingers in heaven and fix it in 20 minutes at church, we can do that. But you're going to be weak. Because my will for you is to be strong. So it's going to be 10 years. Are you okay with that? Nope. Get over yourself. But this is what training is. Coaches make you do things or encourage you to do things that you don't want to do. Why? So that you can get there. So things can happen quickly or slowly. And the third thing under this particular heading was, things do have to happen in a particular order. That's just the nature of things. Again, it's obvious. Things just happen in a particular order. I'm not very good at cooking cakes. I cook other things really well, but cake's not one of my things. But I remember, I think my mum years ago got me to help her bake a cake, and I don't know, I wasn't listening to the instructions. There was sugar, there was butter, there was cocoa, whatever ingredients go into a chocolate cake, I don't really know, but I put something in the wrong order. And my thought was, what difference does it make? All ends up in the one pot. It's all going to get... But it doesn't work like that. Because some things need to actually chemically bond with each other in the cooking process, in the preparation process, before the next ingredient is put in. Otherwise, that process won't happen. Sometimes we want that to happen, but we don't want that to happen. But that's got to happen before this can happen. Have you noticed that? There's an order of things. We live with a God of order, not disorder. He's ordered things. He ordered the stars into the galaxies. So it stands to reason there are things that you and I need to follow the order. We want item 10 on the list first, and he's saying, no, number one is this. I want to conclude this message with this thought. The number one ingredient to seeing God's provision, a foundational issue, if you want to say. It's one of the key ingredients in the foundations that are on the rock that means you're going to weather the storms of life when it comes to provision in your life, is to be generous. I can't put it any more bluntly than that. That is the key ingredient to me in the foundations. There's other things in there. There's faith. There's all sorts of things. But generosity's got to be one of the big deals in your life. And as you become a follower of Christ, some of you here this morning have recently given your hearts to Christ. Don't give up on the journey. Understand that you're going to learn and be trained and equipped to catch the wave. And the wave of God's favor and blessing in your life is connected so strongly to the heart change to a person who's generous. And if you get generosity under your belt early in your Christian walk, you will find God's provision will be following you through the ups and downs. His provision is going to get on you whether you're going up, going down, sideways, or left or right. God will chase you down with his blessing. All right, that's enough information for one message. Why don't we stand to our feet? So just to connect all of that message, I started off and I didn't connect it directly at the start. Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Our whole life is a journey. And what I'm saying this morning, I felt like the Spirit just whispered this revelation into my heart that war represents your life. From the moment you're conceived to the moment you die on planet Earth. I'm not talking about it being warfare and spiritual and all that spooky stuff. It's like every moment of a human life is a struggle against death. It's a struggle against disease. Your body is fighting bugs you don't even know have entered into your body all the time. There's a war going on. And it says, blessed be the Lord my rock who trains my hands for war. This is a sense in which the Bible is saying we can learn how to handle all of life's challenges. We can learn how to handle all of life's challenges. And then he trains my fingers for battle. There are specific skills, dexterity, there are specific skills that we need to be trained in to defend ourselves in the individual seasons of life. The battles are the theatres of war. There's a war and then there's battles. And so our fingers, it represents us making ourselves teachable. Represents you and me being somebody who can be trained with the little finer details. Finances are finer details. A loving marriage are finer details. Being a great parent is finer details. Being a studious student is finer details. The fingers for battle. Those things that we're trained to do with our fingers will set us up to win the battles and survive the war. I mean, that's what this message is saying to us today. So in the name of Jesus, let me pray for each one of you. Father, I pray that we would allow ourselves to be trained, Lord, to handle the ups and downs of life. Father, that we would also allow ourselves and find people who can help us to be equipped, Lord, with the fingers of battle. Lord, that the individual theatres and arenas of our life, relationships, business, finance, health, whatever it is, that we would train our fingers to attend to the small details. We'd get equipped, Lord, to position ourselves to ride every wave you intend for us to ride. Father, that we get on our surfboard, so to speak, and we'd ride every wave you've called us to ride to the shore. It would be a place of joy. It would be a place of celebration. When we get off that board after that ride, we've got our hands in the air going, woo-hee, praise God. What a blast that was. And so, Father, I pray this morning for my friends, myself, Lord, that we'd understand the rhythms of life, we'd understand the waves of life, and Father, we'd understand the provision of God comes in waves, and we're going to learn together how to ride those waves in Jesus' mighty name. Can we give the Lord a clap offering this morning around that message? Awesome, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Every one of us needs to have a moment in our life where we meet him. The author and the perfecter, he's writing a story we've preached at before. He's written the plan of your life. He's the guy that wrote the book of your life. You can do your own thing. You can be your own man or own woman. God bless you if that's your choice in life. But I got to tell you, meeting the guy who actually has plotted out a course for life that means something, his name's Jesus, is the most amazing experience you could have today, right here, right now in this meeting. In a few moments' time, I'm going to ask anybody who wants to slip their hand up and say, I want to meet him. I want to meet Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I want to have a conversation with the architect of my life. I want to get the pattern into my heart. I want to get the pattern into my head. I want to get my pattern into my soul. I want to follow the plans of God for the rest of my days. There would be a moment where you become a Christ follower. We call that person a Christian. And it's a thing you might think, oh, can I be called that? But once you make that choice, you'll be proud to call yourself a Christ follower Christian. It is an amazing moment of absolute transformation. And it can happen right here this morning in a few seconds' time. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three in a moment. If you're standing here and thinking, I think he's talking to me. If you think that, don't think any more wondering. Just go, he's talking to me. I'm making that choice. And I want you to slip your hand up and say, that's me, Pastor Bruce. I am right now desiring to meet the architect of my life. His name's Jesus Christ. If that's you, one. Think about it some more. If you're shaking on the inside, if you're feeling a bit funny around the back of your neck, the hair might be standing on the back of your neck, you might be getting goosebumps all over you, that's good. That's the Holy Spirit knocking on your door. Two, he's looking for somebody here this morning to say yes to him. Is that person you? Three, put your hand up right now. That's me, Pastor Bruce. I am ready to give my life to Jesus Christ. Give me a wave. Thank you. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Come on, there's someone else here this morning. I know there is someone else here who wants to meet him. You want to meet Jesus and give your life to him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Here's what we're going to do, church. We're going to continue to pray. I want everyone to pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to have been in your presence in this place today. I thank you that Jesus, your Son, died for me on a cross so that the power of sin and death would be broken over every life that believes. And this morning, Lord, that's going to be me. So I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is the author and the perfecter of faith.
Help me, Lord,
to live for you
every day.
Lord, I'm going to ride my wave.
Every time it appears on the horizon.
And I'm going to be filled with joy
at every turn.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Come on, give the Lord a clap offering this morning.
Thank you, Lord. Woo-hoo!
Yeah.